Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Yahoo Sports Radio, Tony D taking you through the night tonight. All right, let's go around the NBA, the start of the Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavaliers, some other issues around the league. Lang Green joins us from basketballinsiders.com to give us an idea of what we're seeing so far in the NBA. How are you, my man?
Man, it's always great to be down with you.
The Warriors 11-0. They are beating teams by 16 points a contest. Yeah, you know what? You can look ahead and start thinking that maybe they're going for 72 like the Bulls of 96. But this is a championship team that's playing in a tough conference. What are you seeing different from the Warriors than we saw from last year?
I tell you what, last year was just more like the maturation process of a team figuring out they were special, you know, understanding, starting to learn how good they can be. This year, you see more of a killer instinct, Tony. You actually see a team that knows how good they are and know that they can impose their will on you within the first half. Third quarter, they're up by 20. They're resting their guys in the fourth quarter, keeping everybody fresh. And I want you to take a look at a guy like Stephen Curry, averaging 33 minutes per game. When you look at other teams kind of in the same same spot, they're working at guys 37, 38, 39 minutes per night. They don't have that advantage of getting extra rest. And I think until teams start extending the Golden State Warriors, start making them dig deep, play their starters heavy minutes, this Golden State Warriors team will definitely flirt with 70-plus wins because they're beating teams and they're getting their guys iced out early.
Yeah, last year they had 67, so they were only 5 wins off, and if you add a couple of games here and there, they certainly are close to that mark. This Western Conference is still solid, but is it as solid as we've seen in years past?
Not as solid. I mean, you have teams, but look at the Houston Rockets. Look at the trajectory of their team this year. I don't know what's going on, but you look at this team, they had a tie loss, and it was supposed to really, come out, be a title contender. Look at them now, 3 games under 500. You have to put them basically in the bottom 10 of the league, and that is tough for me to say because James Harden-led team being in the bottom 10 of the league. The Oklahoma City Thunder still with injury problems. Last year they were plagued by it. This year Kevin Durant is out another week or so. And yes, Russell Westbrook is all-world, but look at where they stand right now. They're just a 500 team, and I know they'll be a dangerous come playoff time, but I'm looking at the here and now, the right now, and I see a team that's still can't stay healthy. Up and down the Western Conference, I mean, you're just not seeing, other than the San Antonio Spurs right up there at the top, maybe the Los Angeles Clippers along with the Golden State Warriors, I don't think they're as a big bat of a whoop as there's been in the past.
A team that's dealing with some injuries, the New Orleans Pelicans, they had high expectations coming into this year, but they're 1-9. They're last in the NBA with that record, or at least Western Conference with that record. Is it all injuries, Lang? Is it all just that, or is there something in the transition to Alvin Gentry that they're not getting?
No doubt about it. I'm not going the injury route. Here's a guy that Monty Williams that they had there last year. Listen, Drew Holiday was hurt. Eric Gordon was hurt. Tyreke Evans was banged up. Last year they won 45 games. Anthony Davis missed 16 games. And that team flirted with 50 wins without Anthony Davis for 16 games. So I'm not going to say injuries with Alvin Gentry. I definitely think it's some of learning his philosophies, learning where he's coming from as a coach. That learning curve is huge. It's not just injuries. We're not going to give, Kyle Monty Williams, he navigated the injury waters, and he had the Pelicans 5 wins from 50 last year, right, without some key cards in that lineup. So you're looking at Alvin Gentry, I'm looking at his system, his philosophies. He has to learn how to navigate those same type of injuries that Monty Williams did before him. And I just definitely think, this isn't one of those things where you can just plug and play and start a coach and now all of a sudden you're going to add 10 wins. There's some work behind it.
Lang Green joins us, basketballinsiders.com. Lang, I spent some time in Denver, and I spent some time covering the Nuggets with George Karl, and I know George Karl is kind of an acquired taste. He does things his way and whatnot, right? But why in the world is it not working in Sacramento?
I tell you what, now, it seems like it's going to be a circus. I mean, they started out 1-7, but teams on a 3-game win streak. DeMarcus Cousins has been playing very, very strong basketball. It's his name, actually, Player of the Week in the Western Conference. So they're on a 3-game win streak, averaging like 32 and 11. I'm not sure how much he can keep that up over the next few weeks. But one of the things I have to say is, when you have a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, you know, and they say, well, will this system help him? Or will this situation help him? A guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who is an acquired taste on his own right, the only thing that's going to help him is winning, right? It's not systems. It's the, winning basically cures all. You won't have as much of a headache with him. And I'm not sure if this Sacramento Kings roster has the talent to win consistently to keep his buy-in there. Obviously, you have a guy like Rajon Rondo, who is in a contract year. He's playing model citizen right now, but you still have some injury woes and some personal issues with Rudy Gay. You're not sure how long DeMarcus Cousins is going to stay, you know, bought into what you're doing. And Darren Collison, who is a very underrated player, he's dealing with some injuries himself. I'm not sure. Like, look at Ben McLemore. You know, it's a highly talented lottery pick. He comes into the league. He's basically buried on George Carl's bench right now. I think there's a lot of turmoil under the surface in Sacramento. It's just like kind of like when one little, you know, stretch of yarn gets pulled out of your pants, you keep pulling, it all's going to come loose. That's the way I look at Sacramento. One big blow can make this whole thing fall apart. But right now, they're on a 3-game winning streak, and George Karl is somehow making it work.
All right, Lang, let's go to the Eastern Conference. Cleveland is at 8-2. I want to get your thoughts on the Cavaliers. Anything different from the team we saw last year? Kind of the same question with Golden State. Anything blending better with the Cavaliers this year so far?
I definitely think you see Kevin Love. Really, last year he had trouble fitting in. I think he felt he was maybe outside of the clique a little bit. This year he's definitely taking more assertive and more aggressive approach offensively. Seems to be more in the rhythm of what he's doing. However, one thing when you look at guys when they play with LeBron James and they transition their games, Kevin Love in Minnesota was a guy that can at least get down on the low block and get you a couple points, a couple buckets. The majority of Kevin Love's point shots right now are coming, you know, 18, 19, 20 feet from the basket. I want you to look at, you know, as the season goes on, if he can start getting into a rhythm down low, it will really give the team more options offensively. But right now, the difference between last year and this year is Kevin Love seems to be a little bit more dialed in, a little bit more included, and that's huge for a team that's going to be missing Kyrie Irving until January.
What has been the effect for the Chicago Bulls with Fred Hoiberg now at head coach?
I tell you what, just more players playing. A guy like Doug McDermott, who most people say he was ready to play right out of the cereal box last year, but he's kind of buried in Tom Thibodeau's rotation. Tom is, you know, a veteran, hard-nosed guy who's going to play who he's going to play, and if that was seven guys, then those seven guys were going to divide up all those 240-plus minutes every night. When you see Fred Hoiberg, he's giving guys opportunities to play. You see a guy like Doug McDermott. You see a guy like Tony Snell in and out of the starting lineup now, and I think that's the main thing, and he's not relying on guys that, you know, look at Pau Gasol last year. He's basically an 18 and 12 type guy. This year his numbers are down, but that's because they're spreading the wealth a little bit more. So we'll see if the balanced approach actually works. You know, Joakim Noah is adjusting to, you know, a smaller role than he's been in the past, former All-Star guy, now only playing, you know, 18, 19 minutes a night. I'm seeing just a balanced approach from Fred, so let's see how that works as we, you know, get deeper into the season.
Lang Green joins us, BasketballInsiders.com, as we go over the NBA. So far, I know we're early into the season, Lang, but the Knicks don't look like the dumpster fire we thought they were going to be. What has been the improvement?
Kristaps Porzingis. You know,
yeah,
he's a guy, you know, he's ridiculed draft night, you know. And some of the biggest impact players in history have been booed on draft day. You had to wait a long time to hear the names called, whatever it may be. But Kristaps Porzingis, from day one, you heard him talk, he had a high self-belief in himself. And so this youngster might have it, because it didn't matter he was going to the Big Apple. It didn't matter he was going to one of the, you know, craziest media outlets in the world. He said, hey, I can play. I'm going to call up Carmelo. We're going to get on the same page. And he's come out of the gate hitting threes, almost averaging a double-double. He's a guy that's not necessarily a true number two guy to Carmelo Anthony right now, but he's a strong building block for the future. 7-footer who's only going to get better, because they're basically letting him, you know, get out there into deep water and seeing if he, you know, sinks or drowns. So I really like Kristaps Porzingis and what he's doing this year for that Knicks roster. But they have also included some other talent, like Cal O'Quinn. Robin Lopez, a strong veteran, a guy that's not going to necessarily be a box score bandit every night, but he is a guy that's going to be rugged, set the screens. He hates to lose. You know, he's going to bring that hard hat mentality every night, and that's some of the things that you did not see with that Knicks squad last year. Guys ready to sacrifice and give it their all.
Go back on the West Coast, the Los Angeles Lakers. They handling D'Angelo Russell right?
I tell you what, when you look at young players, and I always go back to Kwame Brown, and I'm not sure if Kwame Brown would ever develop into a strong, strong player, but I looked at how, you know, people say his confidence was ruined possibly by Michael Jordan. And that could be the case, and it might not be the case, but when you look at young players, it just depends. A guy like Chris Porzingis said, bring it on. I am ready. Whatever you want to throw at me. A guy like D'Angelo Russell, who's been, you know, shuffled in and out of the lineup, benched in the fourth quarter of some games, how will he respond? Because he hears the pressure. He understands he was selected before Jahlil Okafor, who's basically averaging 20 points and 8 rebounds a game. How will he respond in L.A.? Can he handle the pressure? So there's some questions right now with Byron Scott and how he's handling D'Angelo Russell. I see a guy that's averaging 9 points, you know, basically 2 or 3 assists and 2 or 3 rebounds a game. That's not a bad rookie stat line at all. However, and when you're drafted ahead of a guy who's coming out the gate averaging 20 and 20 points, 8 rebounds a game, those numbers pale in comparison, and the pressure starts to mount at that point. And now it comes down to how will Byron Scott manage that with a young player that's looking to, you know, develop, a team that's not necessarily going anywhere, but a coach that is playing veterans or trying to play guys ahead of him because he wants to win now.
Lang Green, BasketballInsiders.com. Great catching up with you, my friend. Let's do it again soon.
Well, we got to do it again soon, Tony. Thank you.
Absolutely, my man. Thanks so much. We go around the NBA with Lang Green from BasketballInsiders.com. Good people over there at that website. 800-777-2907 is the number. We'll continue to look at Monday Night Football and Houston's win. Holy cow. Oh, does this shake up Cincinnati enough, or is this just one of those things that happens? 800-777-2907. We'll talk about that next on Yahoo Sports Radio.